We find ourselves at the third Sunday in Lent. Now, the word Lent comes from an old English word, lengthen, which means spring. And we know from our common experience over the years that this season occurs either in the middle of or toward the end of winter and concludes in spring, we hope. It is a 40-day season, and it was established as a part of the church calendar, a time in which to exercise the spiritual disciplines of repentance, prayer, fasting, and sacrifice, or acts of love. Our text for this morning is John's account of Jesus cleansing the temple. Jesus, as he would normally do, would celebrate the Passover. And because it was just prior to Passover, he went, as was his custom, to the temple, expecting to have a time of prayer and meditation and perhaps to spend some moments teaching his disciples. He walked into that temple, and immediately his mood changed because of what he saw and what he heard. He went from a moment of expectation and calm to a moment of deep anger. We almost think that this could not be Jesus, the gentle Jesus we sing about, the calm and reflective Jesus we think about. He found a cord and he fashioned it into a whip. And he began to drive out those who were there, the money changers, those selling the cattle, the sheep, and the doves. And he overturned the tables of coins. It almost felt like he was a madman to those who were watching him and perhaps even to his disciples. I have a firm picture of that occasion in my mind from a painting that I saw as a young boy in Sunday school. Jesus, his eyes, and that's what I was drawn to, his eyes were filled with an anger, and the whip above his head, lifting up those tables and throwing them and driving them out, saying, "This is a house of prayer." I can't imagine what was going through the minds of the people in the temple, and even among Jesus' own disciples. But you see, things had gotten out of hand in the temple. The money changers would normally have been there. It was their job, because people would come to bring their offerings and make that offering to God. However, they came from all over the then known world. And the coins that they would have with them were the coins of their own countries. And they needed to make their offering in Hebrew coinage. So the money changers were there to give them Jewish coins for the temple offering. A couple of problems, though. They were overcharging for changing the money, and they were shortchanging those who came. We likewise know that the cattle and the sheep and the doves were normally there as well, because sacrifices needed to be made of unblemished cattle and sheep and doves. But if you're a pilgrim traveling from far away, you can't bring all of that with you. And so the market men were there to sell these items. The problem, they were perhaps selling unblemished cattle and sheep and doves and they were probably overcharging. This is what made Jesus angry. Plus the fact, think of all the commotion of cattle and sheep and all the bartering and everything else going on. It was anything but a house of prayer. That's what caused Jesus to grab the whip. That's what caused Jesus to act. He didn't stop to form a committee. He didn't stop to assess the situation. He didn't ask for permission to do this. He didn't even pause for prayer. He acted at the moment on what he saw to be unjust and wrong. Another thing to note. What Jesus did with that whip. Not once did he lay it on a human being. And not once did he lay it on cattle or sheep. I think it was there for reinforcement of what he was trying to accomplish. Jesus acted, and it was frightening. Jesus acted, and he attempted to cleanse the temple. Jesus knew that something needed to be done, and it needed to be done then. There's much to be learned from this very, very different look into the personality and the character of Jesus. His anger. There are times when we do need to be angry. Anger is okay, as long as we don't let it get out of control. Anger is okay as long as we don't brood over it and nurture it and stir it and continue to hold that anger for any length of time. There are times when we should be angry about significant wrongs. As when civil rights are violated. Moments when our anger needs to be directed appropriately. But then to move on. And yet there's much more to be learned from this passage. In a sense, Jesus was doing some house cleaning. Now we know that spring has been a traditional time to do house cleaning. Why? Well, I suppose because we saw our parents doing house cleaning and their parents saw their parents doing it. And I believe that in our 52 years of marriage, we did spring house cleaning. I did help with that, didn't I? Now in retirement, we can clean anytime we want or not clean. But still, the concept is good. Periodically, we do need to go through the cluttered places we live in and clear it out, give it that extra caring touch in dusting and sweeping and vacuuming and washing. And I'd like to suggest this morning that Lent is a time to do some spiritual inner house cleaning. To look into the various nooks and crannies of our hearts and our minds and our souls to see that if there is anything at all that Jesus, if he would come into the inner places of our lives, would be disappointed, would not approve of, and perhaps cause him to be angry. I was a part of a group experience in a retreat years back when we were asked to close our eyes and sit there and be aware of our breathing in and out, in and out. And after a few moments, we were asked to look into our inside places and do some thinking about what we were finding, to use any means at hand to accomplish this. What happened to me was astounding, because I pictured a place in the back of my mind. I was standing there looking forward. And what I saw before me was a gabled roof, a building with a door covered with cobwebs, a porch, and a railing, and a stairway leading up to it all. I found myself walking toward that stairs. I ascended, and standing in front of that door, saw a doorknob and a keyhole. I took hold of the doorknob and turned it, but it was locked. And looking around to find a key either hanging nearby or under the doormat, I discovered there was a key around my neck on a rope. And I took it off, inserted the key, unlocked it, took the doorknob, turned it but a little bit, and suddenly the door swung open, knocked me back, and all kinds of debris and clutter poured out. I looked in amazement, wondering, what in the world is this all about? But after a while, as I looked at all of the accumulated items, clutter, debris, I began to put some names to those items. There was the hurts and the wounds, the resentments and the rejections, regrets and remorse, worries and anxieties, all kinds of bad emotional stuff. So what to do with it? Well, I began to pick up the collected stuff laying out there in front of the door and tossed it over the railing. And I worked my way slowly into that room, stacked floor to ceiling. I began to pull down some of those things and walked out and over the railing. But suddenly realized I wasn't going to finish this job with the time I had, that I would need to return. And so I backed out, shut the door, locked it, and descended the stairways. A few steps out, I turned around, and I looked down below the porch. All of that clutter, all that debris, all that junk was gone. Who? When? Why? I opened my eyes. I began to look around the room, and others were coming out of the experiences they had. I have to tell you, I was absolutely speechless. I'm not usually that kind of a person that can do these kind of things. In fact, when I get into some of these groups, I resent being asked to do them. And yet, it was a powerful experience. I began to understand the who, and the when, and the why. Who got rid of that junk? And what did it mean for me? I felt lighter in spirit. I felt cleansed. And at the same time knew that though I haven't been back to that place lately, I would periodically need to return to do some inner house cleaning. Cleaning of the spirit, but not I alone, for the Holy Spirit went with me and has gone with me each time I have returned to that place. My friends, this Lenten season is a time for spiritual cleansing. I would like to suggest that there is a need for inner cleansing, Lenten style, and suggest this step-by-step journey in the remaining weeks of Lent. First of all, and this can be daily, this can be weekly, find a quiet place. Even if that means going into the bathroom and locking the door to find that quiet place, do it. Wherever you feel comfortable. And then ask yourself this question. Lord Jesus, if you came into my inner places right now, what would you find? Sit quietly. Open a door. Pull out a drawer and see what is inside. Things that you know you need to unload. Things you need to discard. When you have identified some things that would not receive Jesus' approval, take the next steps. The discipline of repentance. Repentance is not a word we use very often. We find it in our liturgies. But I would dare say it's not exactly something we use in everyday conversation. To repent means to change the direction in which you're going and turn in the opposite direction, away from. It is being sorry for the sins that are in our lives, and it is asking forgiveness for those sins. And as you are repenting, think of these words, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I will repeat that in phrases and ask you to respond after me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And then ask this of the Lord. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Again, phrased out. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Having asked for God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ, be reminded that you are a forgiven person. Say it to yourself, I am a forgiven person. Say it aloud, I am a forgiven person. I am a forgiven person. But it can't stop there. If there is someone we have hurt or offended or slighted or alienated, we must be willing to go and ask for their forgiveness. And we likewise must be willing to forgive, knowing that with God as our strength, your strength, you will have the courage to do it. And finally, exercised the Lenten discipline of sacrifice, or better named, a work or act of love. We know that we're supposed to give up something in Lent. We hear people talking about it all the time, or some of the time, or whatever. But what good does it really do if I say I'm going to give up chocolate for Lent? Because I know that dark chocolate is good for my heart, right? You see, giving up isn't enough. We need to do a work of love, an act of love, along with the sacrifice of giving up. Take the money I would have spent on a box of chocolate and donate it to loaves and fishes. Think about someone who has suffered the loss of health and do something good for them. Think about someone who has lost a spouse, a child, a partner, a friend, and write a card to them, or phone, or better yet, if possible, make a visit. There's not much we can say in those moments. Words seem hard to come by, but the point is our being there and showing that we care speaks volumes. In closing, I'd ask us to think about the wagon trains that headed west. Think about those folks who loaded everything they possibly could in those wagons, from the floor to the ceiling, barely enough room for them to climb in, even hanging things around the side. Sometimes they dragged in the dust. But they realized that the longer they traveled, discovered they couldn't take it all with them. Little by little, they began to throw it to the side of the path, the rutted road, because the wagons were too heavy for the weary horses or oxen to pull. And if they're going to reach the destination, they needed to unload. And that they did. And it's no different with us spiritually. We won't have good, sound, healthy spiritual lives if we carry the emotional clutter with us. So I'd suggest that today is the day to begin or continue your spiritual house cleaning. And God be with us all as we do it. Amen.